ready? We are ready. Okay. I'd like to welcome you all to the August 16th, 2021 regular meeting of the Lyman Board of Selectmen. This meeting is a public proceeding and is being recorded twice, once there and once there. The agenda is subject to change without notice. Okay, would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We are going to start with a special presentation by our treasurer, Jeanette.
LeMay. In case nobody knew that. So I wanted to talk to you guys about money and banking and some things that, you know, clear some things up that have been going around. First of all, there are two methods of accounting. There's the cash method and the accrual method. The cash method, you post your items when you pay them or when they come in. The accrual method is where you post your items when it is incurred. Does that make sense? We do accrual here, sort of. There's some terminology that may be different, but I've never seen any government institution do cash. Not saying it doesn't happen, but I've just never seen it. So that's what we do here. Does that make sense to you guys? And you can answer whenever there's questions. Okay. Prior to February 3rd, 2021, we had three bank accounts. We had Camden Operating, we had the Camden Money Market, and we had the Infinity Cash Account, which I thought when I came here was a great idea, because any cash that we bring in, we drop it at Infinity. It's close. I can get change for the front counter, and it saves a trip at that time going to Saco. I thought that was a really good idea, and I just kept it going. So after February 3rd, we have four accounts, and that's Biddeford Savings, because you guys had voted to change over, and that's the operating account. We have the Biddeford Savings Reserve and Trust account, or the Money Market account. It kind of changed the name. And we have the Infinity Cash account, and we have the Camden account, which I'm in the process of closing. I have a couple more things that need to be moved over, and then we can close that account out entirely. Okay? When you're looking at a bank statement, because I've given you some samples and I didn't want you to get confused, the bank statement is based on the side of the bank. So if you see on your statement a debit, it's actually a minus to the town or a credit to the town. It's a debit to them because it's theirs. If you see a credit, it's actually a plus to us. If you see, a credit, it's a plus to us because they owe it to us. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, like I said, we're closing out Camden. I have a couple things to do there. Most of it's transferred. It was a big job getting the state and everybody else on board. The reserve and trust account. So, these are your reserve accounts. All of our checks are written on the operating account. So you get one warrant, one thing. So if we have a payment that is from the reserve account, it gets written on the operating account, and then the reserve account has to pay back the operating account. Okay? I gave you a couple of examples on... So Steel Nickel was hired to do the handicap place at the park, and that was out of the Bucketnut reserve account. The bill came in, we paid it. I have in here what it was paid and how it was paid. When we paid it, it came from the operating account. So then a transfer has to take place, moving the $3,200 that we paid for that and paying back the operating account. Okay? And vice versa, whenever money comes in, it goes into the operating account, and it has to pay, it has to be paid into the reserve account. So those are some of the transfers that have to take place. I gave you examples from 2021 on how that's working, and then also from 2018. In 2018, they set up an account, and they did all of their in and outs from that account that they front-loaded in the beginning, and they balanced it throughout the year. I do it with due to, due from, which is a whole nother discussion. Anytime you guys want to have a, if you have insomnia, let me know. We'll have that discussion. But it works exactly the same way. Any questions on that? Why we do that and how we do it? Okay. So Infinity, like I said, it's close. We drop our cash off every day. We pick up change for the front desk. A lot of people pay $100 bills when taxes come in. And we need money to give back to them. So it's right here. In order to get the money from Infinity into our main operating account at Biddeford, it needs to then be transferred. So you're going to see transfers moving that cash from that account over to our main account. And I gave you examples from 2021 as well as 2018. So there's nothing new that we're doing now versus what we did in the past. Secured funds. This is a fun conversation. When you walk into a bank, you see these signs. It says FDIC insured up to $250,000. But what if you have $1 million? Does that mean $750,000 is unsecured? It absolutely does. There's a couple of ways to get around that. I had a corporation and two LLCs, so I had three different accounts. Your FDIC insurance is based on your tax ID, SSN, or EIN number, not by account. So I had three accounts, and I can move money around. I would never recommend that for a town or a school district. The other way is to do a letter of credit. That holds the bank's assets, and they can't use them. So they don't like to go your most excessive balance. They like to kind of find a happy medium where everybody's happy with that. So your letter of credit is based on a year. If your letter of credit is written for $1 million, now you've covered yourself. But sometimes when we bring in taxes, maybe it's $1.10 million. Is that $10 million unsecured at that point? Yes, it is. So another thing you could do is you could set up different accounts at different locations, at different banks, and move your money around. But why do that? The bank will do that for you. It's called a sweep account. So that's what I've set up here. Every day, the bank takes a look at our account, and they see if we have more money, they move it out. If we need money, they move it in. And I provided you an example in your packet. We get a notification once a month on where those funds are sitting. And if you look at the banks, $250,000, $249.99. So we're secured at that point. In the event of an epic failure. So money moves in and out of these accounts for different reasons. And if you ever have any questions, please let me know. And hopefully I provided you with enough information that if you get asked the question, then you'll be able to answer it entirely.
So it's a procedure.
Basically, yes.
You're not taking funds that were for this and paying it for this.
No. No, basically it's taken it from, like I said, Infinity was set up here for cash. It saves you time, it saves you money. But then it's getting that money from there to our main account. So we do a transfer to make that happen. But we don't do it to pay, you know, let's move it out of here and pay this. You know, it's typically all of our checks are run on the operating account. So if we need to pay something from reserve, that money needs to be paid back to operating. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So the sweep account, those transfers are bank initiated, not us.
Those transfers are done at the bank level every single day. And they will sweep or transfer out any additional funds that we have into a bank we have an agreement with, up to the FDIC level that that bank has. And then they sweep it in as we need it, or transfer it back in as we need it. And that happens every night.
Did we move forward on a line of credit?
No, you guys haven't asked me to initiate that yet. If you think we need that, September might be a good idea. I don't think we're going to need it this year. I'm pretty sure we're going to need it next year. But it's annual, Dave. So when we apply for it, that's when the clock starts ticking. So if we need to apply for it, I would recommend August or September of next year. This year, we're going to be fine. Next year, I think we're going to have an issue. Any questions?
I feel like I've been at school.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you're here for.
It's pretty fascinating to see on page 17 banks where they're, where the sweep happens.
Yeah.
It's pretty. Oklahoma, California,
yep.
North Dakota, Texas.
Well, these are the banks they have agreements with.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, they give it to us every single month on all of the sweeps. Are on the pages before that.
Somebody smarter listen to this.
But it's about securing your money.
Sure.
If there's an epic failure, you know your money's secured, and you're going to get it back, because each one of these are going to get paid through FDIC.
Are there any charges? I find it interesting. It used to be that credit unions and banks never really worked together. You know, the fee, is there a fee that the credit union charges to do any type of work with a bank?
No, our agreements are pretty much, we don't get charged any fees. You know, something extraordinary, like if we have a check drawn on a bank from Canada, we get charged a fee for that. And that's expected because they get charged a fee for that. But any, you know, transfers that we do, we're not charged any fees. We actually do what's called a pull because Infinity doesn't have the ability to transfer out. So I pull it out of Infinity from our bank. They don't charge for that. So they don't charge for my check. I have an automatic check reader in my office where I run all the checks through every morning. So we don't have to bank those. We only have to bank cash. When they figure out how to bank cash through a reader, it'd be awesome. but no, we don't get charged any fees like that. We don't get any stop payment fees. When we did the, when we went out to bid last January, that was one of the things that they did for us, no fees. So it basically came down to how they answered our questions, because everybody was pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
And some people took a lot more time answering the questions that we needed than other people did, and that's really what it came down to.
Okay, great, thank you.
You're welcome. So you guys can take this test tomorrow.
Yeah, right.
I don't think so. I'm going to be sick tomorrow.
Oh, I see how you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay. Public input. Anybody that has something they want to bring forward, you have 5 minutes. Amber.
I wasn't able to make the last meeting, so I watched it after the fact. And I was just wondering, there was talk last time about searching out a building for storage and all that. But it wasn't brought up about the town expansion committee that was put together. Is that still an option? Is that still being looked into? Is there any information on what's going on with them?
I think we're going to end up creating a new committee because the last one included here in the school. And where that's off the table, we're going to have a new committee. So that'll probably be at the next meeting. That'll be brought up.
I just had one thing.
Yo.
I know, sorry. Secretary has a comment. No, I spoke with Dave Riley today because I had to follow up with him about trash that needed to be picked up at the soccer field because Rusty had asked me about that. And so he did that, but when I had him on the phone, he wanted to let me know that, I think he said it was last night, as far as like the whole Kennebunk Pond situation, he went there to try to lock up, and there was a man that had overdosed, and so he was in his car. So then three state troopers showed up, and they asked to leave the gate open because they had to leave his car there because he was unable to drive the car. So he was brought to the hospital, and like I said, they just asked if we would just kind of keep the car, and he said it's an ongoing problem.
Why didn't they talk?
I don't know. He was just telling me to pass it along. That's what happened last night. So the gate did not get locked last night.
So let me get this straight. So you're driving. You pull in. You OD.
Yeah.
The state troopers come. They go to the hospital, but they don't tow the car.
He wasn't in the car.
That's the impression I got from Dave, was that he was in the car.
He was outside the car.
Outside the car.
And that's why they couldn't tow the car. Yeah. Nor could he be charged.
Wow.
Really?
Even though the car was registered to him.
We got to get those cameras in there. Yeah. Then they can charge them.
Yeah. Wow.
I even think that keys have to be in the ignition, too. If I'm not incorrect about that, I'm pretty sure that
it's the same rules as an
OUI.
Yep.
Same rules.
Well, maybe we'll have to think about an ordinance of people that park there after hours, and we can have them tow something along that line. We can keep that in mind.
The only issue I have with that, what about people that are out there night fishing? And then I have another issue with that, because Ken Burr says, all right, well, we don't want on-street parking. So every year we have a fundraiser with the fire department, and they have no choice but to park on both sides of the road. So what, then they have to apply for a special amusement permit to park? I mean, I just think that, I mean, yeah, there's something has to be done. I don't disagree. The park is ridiculous. But there's got to be a different way to do it. Well, there's going to be a code or a gate or something. That, hey, 9 o'clock, the gate gets closed. You're in there? Sorry, you're in there.
Something we're going to look at, for sure.
But okay. I know in the wintertime, you've got a lot of guys that go there and night fish.
Yeah, night fishing.
And a lot of them are residents.
I realize that, but you have to be respectful of the people that live there, too.
Well, so, I think most of your fishermen are. I mean, there's a few that are going to leave their trash. And
I would say that most of the damage done to the properties are fishermen, especially ice fishermen. Not summertime, but wintertime. They're looking for a bathroom, looking for a place to dump their beer cans.
I got the porta potty, and I see most of them use that. I mean, I'm out there, I know. I mean, I follow them.
All right, we can argue all day. I know what goes on, so. It's issues we got to deal with. If you heard the complaints from the residents, you might have a second thought about some of them. So, okay. Does anybody else have anything for input, for the public input?
Do you want me to ask now or later?
Ask for?
Signs.
Oh. No, you can ask now if you want. Is that what these are?
The chat board?
Yeah, for chat.
Is that what these were?
I'm not sure. I just
and I might ordered be in there. Five on. Yeah, it's in there, Bill.
Okay, I got it. PO for mulch. Where is that for?
That was for the. Was that for Chad Ward? It's the swing set.
A little more info would be helpful. It's all signed.
I think it's the last one there, Bill. In order
Yeah, white sign for no dogs allowed and no smoking. How about no golf?
That's what I wanted to get, was a no golf. There is a no dogs allowed over there on the field already.
I ordered 5 so you can put them on the perimeter. And then no smoking signs because they have a white background. I could only get 3. That's all he had left. And he held them for me. And he said he's not getting any more. So I got those 3. I snatched those 3 up.
Could we get like 5 no golf signs to go with that?
Yep.
That would be good.
When I spoke to Brad, you had suggested I speak to Brad and ask him his opinion. He said he's never seen anybody golfing over there.
It's the why.
Is that a problem?
I know. That
the why golf's up there.
Really?
They do it all the time. Yep.
Oh, you want it for Mungana?
I need the no golf signs at Chad Gordon Field.
So we need it for both. So at least 5.
So how many? Just 5?
I would get 5 would be good.
Okay.
Yep. Just add it on to the PO. Should be okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's my camera.
I have another question. Can we keep the Chadbourne Field unlocked so people can use it? Because I've seen people, they back up and they jump over the fence and then they play ball. Wouldn't it be nice if they could just walk in?
So, how do we keep the dogs out?
Besides your no dog signs, but I mean, that can work the same way. They could lift their dog over.
If keeping them locked has kept the dogs out. If we open it up, you got neighbors over there that are going to bring their dogs, and then we got piles to clean up on the field.
But shouldn't the field be used? Shouldn't they be used?
I don't dispute that, but then again, we need someone to supervise. The adults that bring their dogs need to be supervised. I have no problem with leaving it open, but I just know that it's going to create a problem. So, I'm open to ideas.
I don't have any except for the new dog sign. I just feel like people want to use it. And it's such a nice field over there when they're locked.
Yeah. Well, you'll definitely need the no golf signs for over there, for sure. What do you guys think?
Definitely no golf.
No golf, no dogs.
But can we leave it unlocked once we have the signs?
No golf.
Leave the small gate, the walk-through gate.
Yeah, just the small gate.
Walk-through gate.
We can try it. We can try it. What we'll do is we'll leave the lock there. Just take the chain and hook it to the fence and lock the lock with the gate unlocked. So that if we need it, it's there.
Yes. Yeah, okay. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, mail. We have a little bit of mail. MMA says the federal government bailout money is delayed.
Thank you.
They're trying to print it, and it's just not fast enough. It's coming. It's going to be a month. Maybe the end of September.
Is there a month?
No, there's no month. Yeah, they don't want to commit to anything yet. That's probably what the delay is about, trying to keep more. So, okay. Planning board had 2 meetings in July. They reviewed an application for Jackson's Corner Store, and it was approved and finalized. The application is to demolish the existing structure and build a new convenience-style store with 8 fueling stations. And then the application for Soggy Dollar, that's Firkenstocks, that was reviewed, that is to demolish the existing store and build a new one with fueling stations, retaining a house and demolishing the garages. From what I understand, you're going to be able to come off of 35 and drive straight into the fueling stations and straight out. So that'll make it pretty easy getting in and out. There was an application for Brock Farm Estates, which I'm assuming is on the Brock Road.
No.
It's not?
No.
Where is it?
Kennebunk Road. 574
Road. All right.
It's the last house.
It's the last
house on the left.
Okay. They want to split lot two into 2 lots with joint approval from the town of Alfred. They had an informal meeting with the owners of Rustic Dreams, which we're going to have a hearing on coming up shortly, 19th or something?
Public hearing.
Public hearing, yep. And the planning board have created some new bylaws incorporating an issue of bias, conflict of interest, and they're working on a list of procedural requirements. So that was pretty much it. Don Vernon's vice chair, Rod Tito's chairman, and Cecile Dupuy is the secretary, and Michael Rancourt resigned. That's pretty much it. There is a thing from the IT guy, Brendan, about the computer room that we need to look at the ventilation in there because it's getting very hot. So we just need to look at that.
I go warm up in there after leaving Jeanette's office.
Oh, is that right?
Who maintains the AC?
Is there a thermostat in there? There's no thermostat in that room.
Nope.
Atlantic Haley's. Comfort, Haley's from Biddeford. We probably have to talk to him about seeing making that a separate zone. So, got that? Okay, good. Okay, complaints. Fortunately. Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't have that one about the AC, but I have one on key request.
I think it's on the other side of the page.
Yeah, I think we'll...
You double-sided it.
I did.
Paper.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, oh, yeah, there it is.
I'd like to deal with that at a later time.
Thank you.
That's all right. Okay.
Yep. All
right. Okay. Points. There is no minutes that I can see.
Nope.
So, warrants. Payable warrant number 8 for fiscal year 2022. In the amount of $28,299.95.
Make a motion to accept the payment for $28,299.95. Warrant 8.
Is there any more discussion?
Just a point of information for folks to realize what we're going to do afterwards, our new process of signing the warrants. One of the...
Oh, okay. At the last meeting, we had some people ask that we could do the signing during the meeting instead of after the meeting. So we decided that we would sign them, pass them down, and the guy at the end collects them all and turns them over to Donna so they're signed during the meeting. So, we need to vote.
Okay, vote.
All those in favor? 3-0, that's good.
We're not being moved to sign
it. That's the way it used to be.
Vote for back.
That's good.
Okay, unfinished business PTO accrual compensation calculations for exempt employees. And I thought we agreed we were going to pay it. It was just about how we wanted to go about doing it. Is anything particular we need to discuss other than that we're going to pay it?
You asked me how much.
Yes, and you said it was about $10,000.
Yeah, you should have something in your packet.
Yeah, it's in the packet somewhere.
Almost. $10,131.37. Just need a motion to pay.
That's it.
That's it.
I make a motion to pay PTO for exempt employees that is due to them.
I'll second.
Okay. Okay, any more discussion? All those in favor? 3-0. Thank you. Okay, we can't have a road commissioner report. We already have a treasurer report, right?
Yeah, well, I usually do a big one, but you didn't have any payroll. Your AP was only 28.
Can we back up?
Sure.
I know it's coming out of personnel.
Yes.
But how does it come out of personnel if it's an unfunded liability?
We're going to end up dealing with that probably at the town meeting in June and have to ask to have that funded. And we're going to make sure.
So we are going to go before the town.
We're going to get that. Well, we have to, yeah. But I think when we budget this year, we're going to have to take those liabilities and make sure we fund those liabilities. Even though we don't use the money.
That's fine. I didn't want to give the impression that we said to pay it without permission. We're agreeing it needs to be paid.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Do we still do PTO?
We do for hourly employees, but not for exempt employees. So we had two positions that became exempt this year. And they had PTO on the books, and that's what this is paying.
Right. I mean, it would seem to me that you have a cap. And or forced time. Hey, you've got 5,000 hours or $5,000 on the books. You've got to start, you know, take a half a week off or something. That way, there it's
your personnel policy.
No, yeah, increasing.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up in the personnel policy what it says.
It is capped.
It is capped.
It is capped.
Yeah. That's the reason the auditors have pushed so hard. That town's fund, they call this an unfunded liability, that we needed to fund that because it was sitting out there for the towns as a liability. Nobody was paying attention to it, and it was really a big debt that the town was incurring.
Well, I can see. I mean, $10,000 is substantial.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. Tax collector report. Miss Tax Collector, please.
Hello.
Enlighten us.
I don't know why I'm here, but I guess you have my report.
Yep, we do have your report, yep.
Okay. So, do you have any questions? So, each month I give you this report of what's collected for our taxes, there's nothing under real estate commitment because we haven't done a commitment yet on this particular July report. And then down below is excise tax that we've collected, both for cars and boats and here and online.
Okay. Right. I think we're good.
One thing I do want to say is it looks like we're probably not going to hit the deadline of October 1st for a due date for the first installment. Keeping my fingers crossed for an October 15th date. If David thinks that it's going to take possibly up to September 15th to finalize what we need to finalize for the assessing so that we can do the commitment, 2 weeks is not enough to get the information to banks or the townspeople. They need at least a 30-day window after the commitment is done. Or 3 weeks at the most would be better, but especially the bags, 2 weeks is not enough to get that information out there.
Yeah. Dave Sawyer was going to originally ask him to be here, but he's preparing to take his exams later this week. So he did send us a letter with a report. Yeah. We're pretty close. He knows what our deadlines are. And he's working to get us there on time. So I think we're way further ahead than we were. So this is good.
I think in his report he mentioned September 15th because he did speak to me.
Yeah, I thought that was in my mind.
And she won't, what she's saying is if we get the tax bills out September 15th, that there, that's only leaves 2 weeks for everybody to get everything together.
Yeah.
So the 30-day window in that would be...
We just have to go with the flow. Okay. We're on a lot firmer ground now than we were last year. So, much happier. I mean, I realize it's not exact, but it's much better. Okay. Do you guys have anything, questions regarding the assessor at all?
No, he compliments Laurie in hand.
No, good, good. Okay. We have...
The Wednesday door.
What's that?
Do you have the Wednesday door thing?
It's on that we under new business.
Okay.
Wednesday
door. I wrote it on your agenda.
The last line on the agenda.
Oh, wait, we'll deal with that.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure you had it. You said to add it, so...
We just need to sign these certificate appointments because we voted on them, right?
Which ones are those? Are those the ones for Patty?
Yeah.
Yeah, so originally when those went out, her name on all three sections was under Patricia, which is not her legal name, so we had to correct them all again. So I think there's five there.
There's five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speak of this. This is another one. I'm not trying to hold you guys up. We're getting close. We had a request from Coastal Riptide Fall Baseball. I believe this is an adult baseball. Who it is?
Although no, I think softball. It's teenagers. They're like 14-year-old.
To use Chadbourn Field, right? Yeah. For games, practice. Age group 13 to 15, and we just have to say if it's okay or not.
I assume linemen, kids.
I do not know.
Massive kids.
It's massive ESIC, so it's going to be a mixture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who's carrying the liability?
They carry it. They have to provide proof of insurance.
Motion
to
allow them to use Chad
Morgan.
Second.
All those in favor? 3-0. Thank you. Yeah, I forgot to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Does this need to be signed anywhere, or are we all set just to prove it?
Below his, there's a spot.
Ah, there's a says approval. Okay. Was there any other new business you've done ahead?
I have one that came in late. I don't know if you even had time to see it, the email from Polly. In regards to the preservation of one of the books.
Yep.
Which we discussed.
Yep.
We all discussed. And yep. It was very long, so she asked us to discuss it at tonight's meeting.
We didn't discuss the books, we discussed
the process. Yeah. I don't remember you saying anything about microfiche.
I don't either.
I agree, that's old technology.
Yeah, no, that was a slip.
So we need... My question is... is that book going to disintegrate between now and, say, a year from now?
Well, I see the concern, but I think the question should we put, rather, did we start purging yet? And where are we in the digital process? So, therefore, I mean, it may not be a year, it may be months.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I agree. But we haven't got far enough into the process to make any decisions on this yet. And I think we should hold off for that amount of money.
Can we use that money when we're digitizing everything else?
The question is, what's it going to cost us to do the digitizing? And I don't know. I really don't know what's available, what's out there, where we need to go.
Well, the person that she's talking, she names out a person that she has dealt with or deals with. Do they do other forms of digitizing? Do they do records or anything to that effect? Municipal records?
I don't know. And again, it all depends on what format we go with that we're going to use that stuff would be done. It's got to be something that's going to be fairly well widespread and compatible, because I wouldn't go with something that's an oddball.
Well, we mentioned it. I know it was only last week. We mentioned it last meeting. Who's going to follow up on that? A name was thrown on. Who's going to follow up on that?
Well, there's five people.
Follow up on what? The digital?
Well, some of the companies that actually do it. Somebody mentioned a name last meeting.
Well, all the big copy companies all do it, different formats. Some of them are similar formats, and we need to talk to some of the towns around to see what they're doing, along with what we can find out there. So we need someone to spearhead a research committee.
A research committee? I'll do some light work to start on.
That's fine.
Definitely will. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be good. Because we need to at least see what direction to go, and then we can decide how much time we need to set aside to do that.
Any idea on our infrastructure here for computers and everything?
Well, first thing I would do is I would talk with two companies. One I work with, and say, what are you guys doing for digitizing media or archiving, and see what they're doing. But then again, I would talk to the copy company companies to see what they're doing integrated with their copy machines to do digitizing. And then we need to check with some of the towns around that are doing it and what they're using and how they came up with their solution.
So can we get a memo out to all the staff about purging, about what is the criteria? How long do you have to hold certain records?
Well, we need to find out what that needs to be.
Yeah.
Yes, I think we should do that.
Okay.
I sent you a copy of Maine's records retention packet right after the last meeting.
Sue?
May I say something?
Sure.
Okay, these vital records need to be preserved in the capacity that they are forever. So these pages, that's the reason for getting these books. That's the reason X amount of dollars was budgeted for to preserve the book once a year. It's expensive. I'm not questioning that. But it needs to be done. Whether you digitize in the future or not, these pages need to be preserved in papers and cellophane or whatever they did to it. That needs to be done. So,
and I would suggest that in your diligent research, that you would find out exactly what they're doing to preserve that.
Yeah, I'd like to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see.
Ones that have been done, and you know, I haven't seen any of the old stuff, but I need to educate myself on it.
Right now.
Okay, so we don't want
it. Yeah, no, it's good.
Okay.
It's good. Okay, so was there anything else? Anything else?
No, I'm fine now.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go to the new business with Leo Thibodeau and Amos Gay regarding the Goodensville Cemetery and Wednesday hours of operation.
I have no idea what that's about.
No.
That's about here, Bill.
Oh,
that's the one you asked
Skip that. That's like these signs you see out, and they say hiring, and it says, I don't know, something else, totally off the wall. And it's like, why are they hiring for that?
Yeah, you didn't have an A or B after that. That's what threw me
out. You confused me. Okay, so gentlemen, please.
Is she done?
Okay, I can shut it
after. No, afterwards.
After, that's fine.
I invited Amos here because there's questions about the cemetery. Well, there's no one here better to answer those questions than this guy.
Well, what a guy.
So, I volunteered Amos to come to this meeting so we can have clarification and an understanding as to how defunct the cemetery committee or the cemetery association really is and as to what the town's obligation to that cemetery is.
That would be good.
Amos, you're up.
Thank you. Do I get within camera range or do I stay out?
If you want to come up here and sit at this table, that way the mic will pick you up and everybody can hear you well.
Can I make believe I'm John Tibbetts?
You most certainly can. Just be good.
Yeah,
yep, right there is
okay,
fine.
Whoops.
Right there
I
is
can't
fine.
Get behind
sure.
Me in the sanctum,
yep.
All right. Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Amos Gay. For the record, my surname is spelled G-A-Y, not G-U-A-Y, but just for the record. I am here this evening with a prepared statement concerning the Goodwin Mill Cemetery. First, I will tell you who I am. I'm a 79-year-old resident of Dayton. I'm a lifelong resident of the Goodwin Mills area. I'm a semi-retired land surveyor, and I'm somewhat of a local history nut. Now, I'll tell you who I'm not. I am not an officer or an official representative of the Goodwin Mills Cemetery Association. With your endurance, I will state the facts as I see them. In the past, I have served as a trustee, and for a brief period, I was vice president. I stepped down from these positions because for 20 years, I have served as an agent or sexton as sorts, laying out new lots, selling lots, coordinating with families, funeral directors, grave diggers, monument dealers, and developing a computerized record-keeping system. All of my efforts have been on a volunteer basis, and I'm tired. I believe the cemetery should be the crown jewel of the Goodwin Mills Cemetery, Goodwin Mills Village, and currently it is a disgrace. Understandably, I have endured considerable grumbling from the general public about the visual concerns of the cemetery. Probably one of the biggest mistakes I ever made was attending the Goodwin Mills Cemetery Association meeting about 25 years ago. It's just like being appointed as a dog catcher. I think it's important for you to understand the physical layout of the cemetery. The cemetery is laid out in 14 ranges with lots within each range. Range 1 is nearest South Street, and range 14 is nearest Methodist Church. Lot numbering begins at Route 35 or westerly end and ends at the former Grange Hall site on the easterly side. There are 5 roads or streets through the cemetery. The lots in ranges 1 through 10 are laid out as family lots generally designed to accommodate 8 traditional casket burials. The overall lot sizes vary from 16 feet by 16 feet to 18 feet by 18 feet. Some of these lots are marked with stone curbing, some with stone corner markers, some with differential grading, and some are simply there. In ranges 11 through 14, the lots are 4 feet by 10 feet. The lot corners within ranges 9 through 14 have a variety of markers, including granite blocks at grade, and or metal rods set at grade or slightly below grade. Obviously, you need a metal detector to find the lot corners. I want to tell you about some of the cemetery records. Sometime around 2008, late Leo Goodwin and I began making an inventory of data from gravestones and from available lot sales records. Prior to that time, there was no organized record of burials or lot ownership. Since his passing, I have continued the inventory of census, as I prefer to call it. Presently, there are some 1,400 entries of both the living and the dead. The living are those folks who have purchased a lot but haven't needed it yet. In addition, I have made sketches of most lots in the northerly part of the cemetery. I have not attempted to record placement of headstones or individual graves within lots.
I've kept a listing of military veterans. The association maintains a list for heretofore annual financial solicitation. Unfortunately, with the passage of time, the association has lost contact with many of the families associated with the lots in the more southerly portion of the cemetery. For better or worse, I am not familiar with either the secretary's or the treasurer's records. The earliest cemetery history I have found is in the second parcel of a deed from Benjamin Dudley to Joseph W. Hansen, dated March 20, 1856, and recorded in book 248, page 546 at the York County Registry of Deeds. This deed conveyed the major part of the current cemetery. In a later deed, dated December 30, 1862, Dudley conveyed the remaining area to Hansen. An 1856 atlas of Gooden's Mill shows the Dudley tomb in the westerly corner of the present cemetery. Joseph W. Hansen died intestate, that's without a will, in 1872. His estate descended to his son, J. Howard Hansen. J. Howard Hansen died intestate in 1939. His estate descended to his daughter, Louise H. Boy. Louise Boy died intestate in 1965. Her estate descended to her daughter, Arlene Boy. On August 25, 1965, Arlene Boy conveyed the cemetery property to Coyle B. Smith by deed recorded in book 2152, page 134. On April 29, 1976, Coyle B. Smith conveyed the area around the former Methodist Social House to the trustees of the Gooden's Mill United Methodist Church. Coyle B. Smith died with a will on August 8, 1980, and left his estate to his wife, Margaret. On May 7, 1982, Margaret Smith conveyed her interest in the cemetery to the Gooden's Mill Cemetery Association by deed recorded in book 2922, page 333. On March 16, 1988, the trustees of Gooden's Mill United Methodist Church conveyed the church's interest in the social house area to the Gooden's Mill Cemetery Association by deed recorded in book 8158, page 13. These last two deeds are the only record reference I've ever found as to the association. The Gooden's Mill Cemetery Association is a dysfunctional organization lacking any real leadership. Presently, the offices of president and vice president are vacant. Historically, it has been a challenge to find anyone willing to mow the grass. A group of volunteers has done a great job pruning and picking up trash over the past few years, but now even they are getting tired. I do not know exactly what the Gooden's Mill Cemetery Association is. Is it an LLC, a bona fide nonprofit, or is it something that just happened? If, like a non-entity, if it in fact is a non-entity, as I suspect, how can it hold legal title to the real estate? The question then becomes, who or what actually owns it? Attorney Rick Hall has been investigating the legal status of Cemetery Association, and I am not aware of his findings or what his recommendations might be. I don't think he's finished yet. In my opinion, it is long past time for the town of Lyman to assume ownership of the association's real estate and financial assets and take over Operation Cemetery. It can then once again become the crown jewel of the Gooden's Mill Village. For over 2 years, I've tried to retire from activity with the cemetery. This past January, I even quit any and all association with the cemetery, and you can see how well that's worked. I have fought the fight. I have run the race, I've kept the faith, and I'm so tired I can spit. Thank you.
So there's no president or vice president?
That's correct.
Is there a treasurer or a secretary?
There's a there is a treasurer, there's a secretary, and there are three trustees. And I don't know, I guess in a public forum, I'm not sure that I should get too deeply into that, but I wonder if perhaps you should, I guess you can't subpoena, but maybe you should request their attendance.
Yeah. Is that listed who they are?
I don't have that list.
That would be helpful.
I can, off the record, I'll work with you. How's that? I feel a little uncomfortable of bringing...
Would the attorney that's researching it, would he know?
I would give up on that.
I don't know. I
okay.
No, we refinanced our mortgage around November, and Rick, we went through Rick's office, and Rick came to me and he said something about the Goodsonville Cemetery, and I said, yeah, it's kind of hurting, and he said, well, I would be willing to do some work, and I said, okay, and with the holidays and everything, I met with him after the first of the year in his office. I gave him some of my paperwork, and I haven't heard anything since. Now, I know there's another attorney in town here that I went to. Well, she's in town, Brinsmills. And I think she and he have talked. And I believe one of the trustees has talked to Rick just recently. But I don't know any more than that. And I'm not trying to be devious. I mean, this is going to be heralded from rooftop, so I have to be careful what I say.
I spoke to Rick at the annual town meeting.
Yeah.
And he said that he owed Amos an apology because he hadn't gotten started yet. And that was in June. Well, the cemetery is still dysfunctional, and it needs to become functional. There's no means for that cemetery right now as it stands to offer perpetual care that we paid for. All of us. Anybody who's got anybody in there.
Perpetual care is kind of a devious term because the rules of state laws are that 30% of the proceeds from lot sales is supposed to go into a perpetual care fund. And I don't think the association has ever done that. On the other hand, they have somewhere $100,000, which is basically from lot sales and solicitations. And if anything proceeds, I think that they should probably set up a perpetual care fund. Some of the deeds to lots do say perpetual care. I have not done that because I just figured we're doing perpetual care anyway, although we're not. But,
and where there's numerous veterans in there, it actually does fall on the town to take it over, on my research.
If
from the state standards, there is no Goodwin's Mills Nonprofit Cemetery Association.
I believe that's correct.
There's no filings, there's no reportings, there's nothing that anybody that I spoke to can find.
Unfortunately, all the people that were on board when these two deeds came into the Goodwin's Mills Cemetery Association, one from the church and one from Margaret Smith, those folks are all gone. So, and they didn't leave much of any records behind them. So it's possible, but I think as Leo points out, he's done some research on it. I have not. I don't think there's any filing in the state as far as a bona fide nonprofit or an LLC. So it's really, what is it? And I'm hoping that Rick will figure out who actually does own it. Because I don't believe the association does. Because I don't think there's any association.
The association, according to the state, is recognized. But there is no official status. So, I forget how the lady described it to me, but it was functioning as an association. The accounts are all in the association. Therefore, the association exists, but there are no filings. So therefore, the association really doesn't exist. But it's a very messed up situation. And the lady that I spoke to in the state of Maine said that chances are, if you get the town willing to take it over, that this could be a very easy transition and all assets from said Goodwin's Mills Cemetery Association slide with it.
I do believe,
but that's all legal.
I do believe that the association has an EIN, and I don't know how they ever got it.
And they've never filed a tax return?
I complete ignorance. I've never looked at the treasurer's books. I've never looked at the secretary's books. So I inherited. When Dave Smith died in 2002, they asked me if I would take over selling lots and all that kind of stuff, and that's really all I've ever focused on. And like I said, it's probably one of the biggest mistakes I ever made.
We had a meeting not long ago where we asked the officers to appoint new officers so we could move forward as the Goodwin's Mill Cemetery Association. Nobody put a step forward to do anything. Correct?
There was a gentleman that organized a Zoom meeting, and that was followed up by a combination Zoom in-person meeting, and I thought we were making, or they were making some real progress, but I haven't heard anything.
And that's been how long?
It was on April 13th that we the combination Zoom in-person meeting was at the Admin Church Mill because we could space out and wear our masks and do all that kind of wonderful things. I think I'll try to answer questions, but I'm going to be a little devious too, I think.
I think the first thing that we're really going to need is a lot of us to see what's actually.
I'm just wondering if we should have our attorney do the research.
Something has to happen.
Yeah. Are you saying that Mr. Hull hasn't started at all yet?
I wouldn't put faith in that, but...
Why wouldn't we have our attorney contact Mr. Hull to see what's going on? Is that us?
I would be fine with that.
That was my suggestion, that lawyer talk. I understand where you're coming from. And by the way, it was thank you. There's been a lot of questions that have been since I... came to office here a couple months ago.
My phone rings quite a lot.
I'm sure it does. The historical data is incredible.
I have copies of all the deeds. I guess they're in a briefcase. Okay. Whether that would help.
Right now, I'll take.
I would take.
Take yes. Anything in your synopsis. If we could have a copy of your synopsis, would be nice. Yeah. Just so we can start building something, because we have nothing here except a lot of people asking questions. I can't. That's just really good information.
I haven't attended. Of course, they haven't had services except I guess one a week ago. Old Methodist Church. Every year when we got ready for our annual cemetery meeting, I'd stand up and make an appeal, and that's when the crown jewel term arose. And I really do. It's too bad. I think that could be a nice looking. Almost yes. Centerpiece for the village, but it's horrible right now. And anyway.
A lot of people are outspoken about that, about how bad it looks and what we have. If we could even, between the attorneys, find out who is involved and get a meeting with them.
I think a couple of trustees have been mowing some of the newer part, but certainly the older section over here, the grass is 2 feet tall.
Okay.
I have a question.
Can I get a copy of that to scan?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Sue.
When somebody comes in, because we've had a couple recently, one was a child or grandson of somebody in the military, and somebody left me, he probably was in tears, and this is awful. Who do I call? Because it hasn't been called. Amos, I haven't been sending them to you, I promise. But what is our cemetery
committee? You sent somebody to somebody on the cemetery committee,
yes.
And so that guy was bold enough to give him my number. So.
So
I should turn around and scan
it. Yeah, it's
just for
veterans.
That's what they were starting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I just was curious.
And
I have another copy.
Yeah, I'm going to scan one in for the minute. So.
Now, before we start incurring legal costs. So I can just inquire to Mr. Hull if he's doing some volunteer work, send him a letter, send him an email to ask him where it stands.
I'd be happy to give him a call.
Well, I also know that I would also think that the town of Lyman should also get the officers' names and send them a letter, either a letter of invitation or a letter of dissolve. Because it has to happen.
This is what I read.
Okay.
And this is the catalyst that I mentioned.
I will call him.
And these copies of the various deeds.
Who do I give those questions to? I don't want to sit there. Perhaps I should have. What do you mean, people that ask about the cemetery?
I was going to mention that, but I didn't get into my written comments.
There's nobody managing the cemetery.
Where did it go? They buried it.
Well, I don't want to just say to people.
Straight there. But that really.
I want to give that answer. If the association does, so maybe you guys can be thinking about what's going on. Send him right to Bill Harris. Send him all to Bill Harris. Send him right to Bill Harris. Okay, I do that. You got that name, Bill Harris? In like this, there were a couple meetings ago.
That was Ben.
And who was the other officer in this? I know him, but I can't remember their names.
Douglas Hill was one, and I said it was a good
one. Douglas Hill.
Well, you're answering my question.
Jason Grantham.
Is the other officer.
Those are the three trustees.
So do we know who the secretary is?
I'm all done.
Okay.
I'll tell you.
I appreciate it.
Off the record, I'll tell you. Well,
you're
all
right.
I know. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anything else? Entertain a motion?
No. I spoke to you about the door.
Yep, we'll take care of it later.
Okay, sorry.
Yep. So I'll entertain a motion.
To adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor? 3-0. Thank you very much. We're off the record.
Wait.
It's still on.
Yeah, she's sending it now.
It's